Hillary, when my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, Mount South, the 12th hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is January 28, 2023, or it is the seventh day of Adar, 2026. We restored our second service on the Sabbath day for the song. Wonder of wonder. Let me tell you a story about a long time ago, of a prophecy made for the future to unfold. About a man named Yahshua who came to his own, to live and to die and to reign on his throne. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is come, oh matchless love from heaven come down. He was a man who walked among men, he showed deliverance from error of sin. He touched the heartstrings of men where they live, and with unerring judgment he had power to forgive. He taught the plan of salvation by faith, long on mercy and full of grace. The trail to glory you see, through the blood of the Lamb of the Calvary. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found, O matchless love from heaven come down. The title of our sermon is will be Theocracy. It's taken from Mount Zion at the 11th hour, track 8 by the V.T. Holler. And we're on page 43. So this will be actually part 3. And it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock and a weary land. Isaiah 32, 1 and 2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh, of the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of the Peace, of the increase of his government, and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of the David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with the judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua of the host will perform this. For the Yahshua sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Isaiah 9:68. Behold, the Yahshua will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, He will then give them the kingdom. And the work before him, he will then gather his people. Isaiah 40, verse 10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, prophesies Isaiah, and the figurative depiction of this glorious triumph of the Yahweh's purpose. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Yeshua shall rest upon him, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yeshua, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yeshua. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness as the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11, 1-5. We're talking about this kingdom illustrated here. There are three persons brought to view. Jesse, the father of the David. The rod David and the branch Yeshua. The relationship shows that David the rod is not Yeshua the branch. For the rod sprang from the stem of Jesse, and the branch from the rod, a fact which is borne out in the cry of the multitude when Yeshua entered Jerusalem. They shouted, Hosanna unto the Son of David, Matthew 21:15. Plainly, therefore, the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the Son of David, Yeshua. Upon this ensign, branch and rod, the spirit of the Yeshua shall rest, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Yeshua, or the fear of the Yahweh, I guess, fear Yahweh and give glory to him, and shall make him of the quick understanding, the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness as the girdle of his reins, Isaiah 11:2-5. So it says that, so though the ensign emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse, the root, David, the rod, and Yeshua, the branch, yet the power and wisdom of the Yeshua is its underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says the Yeshua, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, Revelation 22:16, bearing out that he is all and in all. Since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, Yeshua, David the visible king, and Yeshua the invisible king of kings, shall in that day in our time constitute the ensign. And on this shall the Gentile seek and his rest for his resting place, the location where the rod or ensign stands, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious, Isaiah 60, verse 13, saith to Yahweh. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahshua, will be their king, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Yahshua, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34, 23-25. Thus the church or the kingdom is again reflected without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27, a theocracy of peace, safety, and invincibility under the rule of the one shepherd and a king, David. It didn't say the King David, it said and a King David, this his servant. But the fact that many kings reigned over Israel may in the minds of some give rise unto the question, why David as a type? Inevitably, because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype as the leader, a ship. In the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, that's the fifth angel, Revelation 18:4, this being so, then it necessarily follows that Saul, as the first king who reigned over Israel and who was largely responsible for the early experience of the David's life, is a type of the church leadership in the period preceding the loud cry, the leadership which was raised up in 1844, and for the sole purpose of giving 144,000 as the first fruits of the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 45, and in each case, type perfectly matches antitype. On account of the outwardly kingly appearance, Saul was chosen by the people, as the reader will remember, to be their king, in spite of the Yahweh's disapproval, 1 Samuel 8:7, then finally, when Yahweh rejected him and anointed David to be a king in his stead, he was determined to retain the throne by attempting to kill David, and ended up ever before David ascended it by deliberately killing himself. 1 Samuel 31:4. Time has already demonstrated that the SJ organization is fulfilling the type, preferring to incorporate and to elect officers by the people's vote. They have thereby manifested that they have cared not so much for the pleasing of the Yahweh by being a peculiar people as he would have them to be, as they have to please themselves by being as much as possible like the other denominations, just as in the Saul's time, the people wanted to be like the nations around about them. 1 Samuel 8:5-7. And although chosen by the people, yet the general conference officers were nevertheless accepted by Yahweh to be the rulers over the people, now as Saul was anciently, just as he betrayed his trust, however, by disobeying the word of Yahweh, as spoken unto him by the prophet Samuel, so the present church organization of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, which are made up of Jesuit infiltrated priests, Catholic priests, the ancient men before the house, have, says the prophet, to the church today betrayed their trust. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. For a more ample treatment of the subject of the organization, see our organization manual. Says, speaking unto the SDA leadership, the servant of the Yashir says, you have no right to manage unless you manage in the Yahweh's order. Are you under the control of Yahweh? Do you see your responsibility unto Him? That these men should stand in a secret place to be the voice of Yahweh unto the people? As we once believed the General Conference to be, that is past. What we want now to is the organization, General Conference Bulletin, 14th section, Volume 4, Extra, Number 1, April 3rd, 1901. Okay. So it says that this revelatory statement conclusively proves that after the historical Minneapolis meeting in 1888, when the leaders rejected both the message and the counsel which was given them, testimonies to ministers, at page 468, the Yahshua did not any longer regard the General Conference as his servants, just as he did not any longer regard Saul as king over Israel after he turned from the Yahweh's commands unto him. And now, having long since granted the popular demand for the organizing of the General Conference and the fulfillment of the type, Yahweh warns that his forbearance has come to an end today, just as it did then. Solomon declares the spirit of the prophecy. Yahweh calls for a spiritual revival and a spiritual reformation. Unless this takes place, those who are lukewarm will continue to grow more abhorrent unto the Yahshua, and he will refuse to acknowledge them as his children. For revival and reformation must take place with the administration of the Holy Spirit. For the revival and reformation are of the two different things. Revival signifies a renewal of the spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, a resurrection from the spiritual death. For the reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in the ideas and theories, habits, and practices. Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of the righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. revival and reformation is to do their appointed work, and in doing this work, they must blend the sure our righteousness, page 154, by Ellen G. White. Saul's fall came from the neglecting for the obeying unto the letter, the word of the Yahweh, and from then excusing his disobedience with the pretext that he had shared the best of the cattle for sacrifice, saved the best of the cattle for sacrifice in their worship unto the Yahweh. So, the present leadership, although commanded to shun all worldly connections and ways, and to avoid all manner of business on the Sabbath, such as selling literature, raising gold, etc., nevertheless, disobediently connected with the world and followed in the forbidden path, even for the turning of the house of Yahweh into a house of the merchandise, Testimony, Volume 8, page 250, by Ellen White, then continuing in the Saul-like fashion, they pleaded extenuation of this disobedient and desecrating course on the ground that such a practice is good missionary work. Thus says the spirit of prophecy, a great mistake has been made by some who profess present truth by introducing merchandise in the course of a series of meetings, and by their traffic diverting minds from the object of the meeting. If the Yahshua were now upon the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and trafficers, whether they be ministers or people, with the scourge of the small cords, as when he entered the temple anciently and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made a den of thieves. These traffickers might have pleaded as an excuse that the articles they held for sale were for the sacrifice offering, or for the sacrificial offering, that their object was to get gain for the obtaining means to accumulate. I was shown that if the moral and intellectual faculties had not been clouded by the wrong habits of living, ministers and people would have been quick to discern the evil results of the mixing the sacred and common sense. Ministers have stood in the dust and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by the introducing of the merchandise and acting as a part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, they have diverted the minds of their hearers from the impressions received and destroyed the fruit of their labor. Testimony, Volume 1, page 471. Though acknowledging Samuel as the Yahweh's prophet, Saul at the same time deliberately disobeyed his words. Likewise, though also acknowledging Sister White as the Yahweh's servant, the General Conference has said to say or today that the course they pursue denying her authority. This wide open fact is exposed numerous times in the spirit of prophecy, a representative statement being those who have trusted to intellect, genius, or talent will not then, after the purification, stand at the head of the rank and file. No, they won't even be there. They did not keep pace with the light. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and He cannot use them. But Yahweh has a faithful servant who, in the shaking testing time, will be disclosed unto view. Testimony, Volume 5, 8, page 80. If they continue in this state, Yahweh will reject them. Testimony 5 and 6, page 427. Just as Saul's outward show resulted consequently only in his being dethroned by another king, so likewise shall the great men of today, those who at the head of the work and who trust unto the intellect, genius, or talent, be replaced by those who, though not having a polished outward appearance, are to be disclosed to view at this time as revealing the pure brightness of a genuine character for further study on the change of the leadership. See our track number 2, the warning paradox. As a soul, furthermore, defied Yahweh by refusing for the abdicating of the throne and by the seeking for the life of his anointed King David, so now at the sounding of the trumpet today, we find that the General Conference is refusing to let Yahweh take the reins in his own hand. Yahshua took the reins in his own hand. Testimony of the Ministers, page 300. They're attempting for the usurping of his throne by the determining that they are to rule the denomination until the end of this world. And they're availing themselves of every chance for the casting us out of their midst in the order for the safeguarding of their control of it. Those who are doing this are they whom the prophet Ezekiel prophetically heard saying, this city is the cauldron and we be the flesh. Ezekiel 11:3. They are now doing everything possible for the exalting and for the perpetuating themselves and the power, and to be rid of those who have the name of the Yahshua, of the Yahshua's published peace, and brought unto them the good tidings that the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. But their city shall not, says the Yahshua, this city shall not, says the Yahshua, be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel. Ezekiel 11:11. Those who desire to know the truth for themselves as to what kind of the treatment we have received at the hands of the church official, as did David at the hands of Saul. May read our tract number 7. Count the evidence on both sides before firing for or against, and the rejection of the message that has come unto them, with the warnings and reproofs, and in the continuing in their evil ways, our brethren are compelling the Yahshua to cut them down by the slaughter weapons of the Ezekiel 9, unless they immediately repeat, though on the way to suicide with the soul, yet they are saying in their heart, Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. This peace and safety is the cry from men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet for the showing of Yahweh's people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin. Well, that went right clear up to Gilead Center. Our pastor fit that description of not lifting up his voice. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. As the soul still further was responsible for the death not only of his son, but also of the people, 1 Samuel 31:6. So the ministry will be responsible for the men, maidens, and little children who fail to receive the seal and who consequently perish in the slaughter. Nevertheless, despite their great sin and certain doom, David, as the type, reveals the fact that though we may cut the skirt of their robes while they are bitter and wroth against us and are chasing us around as sheepcoats, 1 Samuel 24:3-4, or that we may take the spear and the cruse of water from their bolster while they are in deep sleep from the Yahshua, or that we may, as we find them asleep within the trench, or covering their feet in our hiding places, 1 Samuel 26:7-12, have them at our mercy with the power and the opportunity for the doing them much injury, yet in no case would we hurt them in the least, but rather would befriend them. And while they are persecuting us, as Saul persecuted David, everyone that is in the distress, and everyone that is in debt, and everyone that is in discontent will, as the type also shows, join us, 1 Samuel 22, whereas all who are neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, satisfied, are with the angel of the church of the Laodicean in the critical danger of remaining wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and have been as a consequence spewed out, rejected, cut down, testimony, Volume 6, page 427, Volume 5, page 80, Volume 1, page 190, Volume 5, page 211. In the foregoing exposition, we see that those who respond and hear the Good Shepherd's voice are typified by the David's followers, and that those who do not respond are typified by the Saul and his followers. In the loose parable of the Great Supper, Yahshua again brings to view the both classes. On the one hand, Saul sympathizes sympathizers prefigure in the parable of those who excuse themselves on the grounds that they were too busy with the cares of this life, and who consequently with the one consent began to make excuse, the first saying unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. On the other hand, David's followers typify those who were found in the streets and lanes of the city, the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind, Luke 14:17-24. Immediately after Saul was informed by the Samuel that because of his unfaithfulness, Yahweh had rejected him as the ruler over his people, Samuel was sent secretly for the anointing of David to reign in the Saul stead. And though Saul was told that Yahweh had rejected him, yet he refused to abdicate, with the result that the Philistines were besieging his army and were about to take the kingdom, for the giant Goliath had stood and cried unto the armies of Israel for 40 days and said unto them, why are you come out for the sitting of your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants unto the Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down unto me, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine says, I defy the armies of the Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When the Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. 1 Samuel 17:8-11. Though naught but a stripling, despised by his brothers, and but lowly regarded by all the others, David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. 1 Samuel 17:32-40, 49-51. David's victory over the giant against whom no one was able to make war typifies the victory of the church, the house of David, Zechariah 12:8. And that's the house that we represent right here. than the time of the trouble, such as never was. And that's who we are, over the beast and his image and typical Goliath. Today that would be Joe Biden, the President of the United States, and the whole Democratic and Republican Party, all thrown together there at Washington, D.C. That's the beast. That's the antithetical Goliath. And that's the ones that we are called to get ready to overthrow. Concerning whose formidableness, the Revelator asks, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with them? The giant Goliath accordingly represents those who now defy the servants of Yahweh and who shall comprise the image of the beast, that religio-political system which shall defy the armies of the Yahweh and issue a decree that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should to be killed. Revelation 13:17-15. But in that day, saith Yahshua, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, in that day shall Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:3-8. The five smooth stone and the David's bag, with one of which he slew Goliath, typify the fivefold power in the antithetical shepherd's bag, the Bible, with one part of which Yahweh shall today smite the beast and his image, the nations, the antithetical Goliath. And since we know that it is by his word in the form of a message that he shall smite the nations, then obviously the five smooth stone represents five messages, the last of which is the to wound the beast, destroy the image, his image, and free Yahweh's people from the fear of the heathen and from taking the mark of the beast. So as the five stones and the shepherd's bag are figurative of the five messages, the messages therefore are necessarily scheduled somewhere in the Bible. They are in the Yahshua's parable of the vineyard. The first at the early hour, the ceremonial system coming out of Egypt with Moses. The second at the third hour, Yahshua at the crucifixion and the resurrection of Yahshua. The third at the sixth hour, the 2300 days prophecy of 1844, cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. The fourth at the ninth hour, the judgment of the dead. And the fifth and last at the 11th hour, and that's who we are, the judgment of the living, the time of the loud cry, which shall wound the beast, and with his own sword, the 10 horns of Revelation 17:16, cut off his head, and then with fire destroy him, so that the wound shall never heal again. In the message of the hour, therefore, lies the safety of Yahweh's people. For a complete study of the parable of Matthew 21:16 and of the beast of Revelation 17, read the Shepherd Rod, Volume 3, page 222-239, page 155 and 6. Proclaiming the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, a day of the slaughter, Isaiah 30:25, and a day of the darkness, Joel 2:2, this last message is to be sounded at the end of the 11th parabolic hour, just to be sounded in the 12th parabolic hour, just before the time in which as John foresaw the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath, that's Yahshua's wrath, the Lamb, is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:15-17. But the righteous, as the future leaders of the church, as David's reign typifies, who raised up the righteous man from the east, and called him unto his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not yawned with his feet. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon a mortar, and as a pot of treaded clay, as the 41:3-25. Behold, I have given him for a witness unto the people, a leader and a commander unto the people. This is antithetical David. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Yahshua. Yahshua thy king, and for the holy. The Yahweh thy Father, and for the Holy One, the Son, Yahshua of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:4-6. That could read that. Seek ye the Yahshua while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That Yahshua is the one that's always near here on this earth. Since for Yahweh's honor and for the prosperity of his people, both Elijah's message and David's reign took the lives of many. Elijah's message, the lives of the apostate teachers in Israel, 1 Kings 18:40. And David's reign as the lives of the heathen who defied Yahweh and his armies, 1 Chronicles 22:6-8. Therefore, the work of the Elijah particularly typifies the day of the slaughter in the church, and the reign of David as the destruction of the heathen and the possession of the earth, Zechariah 12:8-9, Jeremiah 33:9. Wherefore Yahshua, the son of David, shall visibly appear and take unto himself his kingdom, Luke 19:15, and glorify it with the everlasting peace, as typified by the peaceful reign of the David's son Solomon. And in the days of these antitypical events shall be completely realized the promise. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou, David, must go to be with thy fathers, and I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. 1 Chronicles 17:11-13. When the righteous are in the authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. While to the righteous, he makes the king of his place and protection to the heathen. Yahweh makes it his battle axe. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of the war, declares the Yahshua and the foreshadowing to the posterity of Jacob. Their ultimate destiny. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider, with thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Jeremiah 51:20-23. For the stone, Daniel 2:45, Zechariah 3:9. The 144,000, Revelation 14:1, cut out of the mountain. That's the Seventh-day Adventist Latter-day Saint Church. Without the hands, without the human help, is to break the nations that are symbolized by the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold of the great image. And all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. That from the Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Yahshua has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of the Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors shall come upon the Mount Zion for the judging of the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yahshua's. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahshua shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, that's at the 12th hour, and in Jerusalem, that's the capital of Mount Zion, shall be delivered, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. That's in Obadiah 1:17-21, Joel 2:32. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. That's Isaiah 60, verse 12. From the foregoing scriptures, we see that as a result of the rejecting of the truth proclaimed by His Seventh-day Adventist Church, the wicked go to destruction. And echoing this prophetic pronouncement of their doom, Yahshua declares, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father," Revelation 2:26-27. He that overcometh, being the one who is to rule the nation with a rod of iron, and the need and the work of overcoming being not his but his followers, the truth is obvious that the Yahshua will have a victorious nation, a kingdom through which he will manifest his great power, and which shall be a kingdom of peace. That's the kingdom that we're working on right here. Okay, I said that a heaven-like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom of the at the time that the Yahweh or Yahshua shall use it as his battle axe with which to smite the nations is evidenced by the following scriptures. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:6-9. When this state of the knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom, then in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And that root is Yahshua sitting upon his throne, and David sitting upon his throne. Those two working together in the kingdom of David constitutes the ensign for the nation. Under it shall the Gentiles seek. Consequently, it is in the probationary time, and in that day the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people. Isaiah 11:10-11. Okay, it says, and in that day, says the Yahshua through his prophet Hosea, in the reiteration of his covenant of peace, "But I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow in the battle, and I will bow and the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely." Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of the Hosea chapters 1 and 2, read our tract number 4, The Latest News for Mother. As in the Noah's Ark, the type, so in the antitypical Ark, the kingdom, nothing shall hurt or destroy, for the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all shall feed on the straw. Thus now, as in the Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve the remnant of man and beast out of his whole creation, instead of exterminating every living thing and then creating them all over again. For the recognizing of this fact, the Apostle Paul says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of the Yahweh, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of men, of Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, for the witnessing of the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8:19-20. Okay, this brings in verse 10. This is our contact just at the 11th hour corner. Number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Send him over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more of the beauty see, wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. That's what the Blessed One gives to all, wonderful words of love. Send a list to the loving call, wonderful words of love. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Thus will our holy Savior sanctify the Father. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.